Genesis 3 is where the story of human history went terribly wrong. Just went wrong. See, when God placed Adam in the garden, God gave him everything he possibly could have needed. He provided all the food Adam would need. He gave him companionship with his wife Eve, and together God even gave them good and honest work. They were assigned to work the garden and tend to it. It was perfect. God gave Adam and Eve access to the tree of life, and they had full permission to eat from this tree. The intention was that they would live together in this blissful, innocent, perfect time. It was supposed to be really, really good. But then God gave them a command. Because there was one tree they were not supposed to eat from. And you know this, when you give somebody a command, the first thing they do is they disobey it. You give a kid a command, say, don't do this, what do? They do it. And that's what Adam and Eve did. Of all that God had given them, they went after that which they weren't supposed to go after. And they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They weren't satisfied with being creatures under the authority of a creator, of the creator. And they were sold on Satan's temptations. After they ate the fruit, they hid themselves, and when God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, He found them, He cornered them, and just like the selfish, bungling people they were, when God asked them, what have you done? Each of them in turn, of course, blamed somebody else. God says to Adam, what have you done? And Adam blames two people. Did you catch that? He not only blames Eve, but he blames God for putting Eve there to begin with. This woman, whom you put here, she gave me the fruit to eat, and I ate it. It's not going to cut it. And then Eve, she throws the blame around too, and she's maybe a little bit more justified. She points to the snake. Well, the snake tricked me, and I ate the fruit. Whoever the blame lies on, which it's all of them, by the way, the fact is, the damage was done. Adam and Eve now knew something that they were never intended to know. Good and evil. Now, we might not think that's so bad to know about evil, but it wasn't just knowing about evil. It wasn't some cursory knowledge. It was that they actually became evil. What was once innocent was now corrupt. What was pure is made infected. What was clean is soiled. And God, looking on Adam and Eve, knew that this was going to be only the beginning of their disobedience. That from this point on, it was just going to get worse and worse and worse. From this simple act of disobedience, all cruelty in the world, all disobedience, all selfishness, all lying, all deceit, all anger, all immorality, all malice, they all stem from this one thing. And though each of us, when we are born in the image of God, we are also born in the image of Adam and Eve. Our fallenness, that corruption that we are, it's genetic. It's part of us now. We are sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. We are inbred with sin. So God looks at this, and in His own holy counsel, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit together, pronounce a sentence upon Adam and Eve. They pronounce one upon the snake too, but we'll talk about Adam and Eve. God says these people now know the difference between right and wrong. So they must not be allowed to eat from the fruit of the tree of life. So the Lord God sends them out of the Garden of Eden. Then God put winged creatures at the entrance to the garden and a flaming, flashing sword to guard the way to life. The way to the tree of life is blocked off. It's guarded. It's locked away. It's inaccessible because such foul creatures cannot live eternally in this world. The way to life was blocked. But this hasn't stopped human beings from trying to force their way back in to life. We're like parasites. We seek it whichever way we can, though we have forgotten what that fruit tastes like. We've forgotten what that tree looks like. And so there's some among us who will look for that life-giving fruit through New Age thinking. Or some people will look at it and try to find it through philosophy. Others will think that by leaving a legacy here on earth, that is life. Others will think about positive thinking, that positive thinking and true health and meditation, that is the way to have life. Within the church, within God's people and Christian nation themselves, we'll try to find life by just trying to be the best we can, to be obedient, to give to the poor. We'll try and do things that somehow will pay this debt that we owe to God. We'll try to win the Pulitzer Peace Prize or the Presidential Medal of Honor. Heck, you could take the Vikings to the Super Bowl and try to find life that way, but it's not going to happen for multiple reasons. For one, it's going to be really difficult to get them to the Super Bowl to begin with. But we know from the Gospel that there is only one way to life. And we talked about this last week with the I Am statement that Christ says, before Abraham was, I am, that Christ is exclusive. And Jesus is just as exclusive here. Because the disease that is sin just runs far too deep in our bones. And the debt is too much to pay. Only through Jesus comes life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no way to explain that passage without explaining it as being absolutely exclusive. It is only through Jesus that a person on this earth can have life. His words are exclusive. They leave no room for any other way, any other truth, or any other life. And this can be hard to hear in a world like ours that throws out that word inclusivity. Everybody's a winner. Trophies for everyone. Our culture will invite us to live our own truth, whatever that means. And I don't know what that means. We'll say things, well, as long as they're happy, it's their life. But whatever quest we take to find the tree of life apart from Christ ends in failure. The way is guarded. It is blocked. the tree is walked away. But Jesus is the way. He unlocks that gate. An I am statement that we won't get to this time around, but is found later on in John, is Jesus says, I am the door. Life is found through Christ. The way is guarded by Jesus because Jesus is the way. Living our truth independent of the Lord doesn't work because Jesus is the truth. If we want to live a truth, we live Jesus. He is the way to life because He chose to go our way, which is the way of death. He went to the cross. And so His words are exclusive, but they are wonderfully inviting. He opens up the way for all of us, for this entire world, that those who have faith in Him, and just faith, have eternal life. It's not about the work you do. It's not about your own truth. It's about Jesus. That's all it is. Through Christ, the garden is once again opened up to us. And for those who put their faith in Him and Him alone, the tree of life, which I strongly suspect looks a little bit like a cross, is opened up to you. And we can feast on it for all time. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, sometimes Your words are hard to hear. But tonight we thank You for the simplicity of them. Thank You for freeing us from having to find our own way, our own truth, our own way to life. Thank You for just showing us that You are the way, the truth, and the life. All we can ask, Lord, is that You would give us faith to believe, to receive what You so desperately want to give us. Thank You for the fruit that You offer us. May we eat of it all our lives. We pray this in Your name. Amen.